welcome to the broadcast. Today we begin a brand new series on the importance of sound doctrine. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Notice it says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But to the pastor in verse number 5, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." They will not endure, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. As we begin this series on the importance of sound doctrine, listen to this message in song and make it your prayer. "Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way." The words go on to say, "Teach me to know your word." The phrase "teach me" is in the Bible 15 times, once by Job, who was going through some situations where he said, "All right, Lord, teach me what you want to teach me through these storms." And then the psalmist, who also went through a lot of storms, I'm not talking physical storms, but emotional ones, 14 times he said, "Lord, teach me."
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Savior nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
We are going to be talking about the subject of Bible doctrine. The word doctrine is used in many ways in the scriptures and is basically referring to what is being taught at the particular time and place where we read it in the scriptures. For instance, in Ephesians 4 and 14, it refers to every wind of doctrine. 1 Timothy 1, 3, other doctrine. 6 and 3, doctrine which is according to godliness. 2 Timothy 4, 3, sound doctrine. Hebrews 6 and 2, the doctrine of baptism. Revelation 2, 14, the doctrine of Balaam. 1 Timothy 4, 1, doctrines, plural, doctrines of devils. And then in Hebrews 13 and 9, strange doctrine. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine. It's interesting that if we look at the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, it says they receive the word of God with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. There's three things in that verse. One, they receive the word. They receive the word. Second, they receive the word with all readiness of mind. And third, they search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I think today we go to church and hope that he gets done by 12 noon so we can beat all the other Christianettes to the restaurant. Never mind searching the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. One of the problems we have today is that we think we're just doing God a favor by going to church three times a week for an hour and then forgetting everything what the Bereans did was they received the word with all readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Have you searched the scriptures yesterday? Did you search the scriptures the day before? Do you search the scriptures daily? If not, you can put yourself in that bunch that should be classified as Christianettes rather than Christians. Now, as we go through this study on the subject of doctrine, it's extremely important to understand that we need to look at all scriptures in their context. Apostasy thrives when scriptures are taken out of context. When we take scriptures out of context, we have things like the cults and the charismatics and the Calvinists. All of this comes when we take scriptures out of context. We look in the Bible, we see the phrase, the apostles' doctrines in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 43. When we read the phrase apostles' doctrine, it is simply referring to what the apostles were teaching at that particular time. In 2 Timothy 3:10, it says when the apostle Paul was talking about a different subject, he called it my doctrine. And in both cases, they were simply referring to what they were teaching at that time. And so when we look at apostasy, we have to look at the subject. When we look at the subject of any doctrine, we have to look at it within its context. Now, what was happening back there in the age 2,000 years ago when the local churches were getting started, we find that Christian leaders were promoting false doctrine. Now, I'm going to make a statement here you might not like, but it's fact. The only time the New Testament speaks of heretics and heresies is when it refers to Christians preaching false doctrine. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, first of all, it says there will be false prophets among the people. Well, there's all kinds of them out there. But then, even as there shall be false teachers among you, he's telling the people here, the Christians in their local churches, there will be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in, or secretly, privately, shall bring in damnable heresies. The damnable heresy is a heresy that will damn you to hell if you believe it. He goes on to say they'll be among them who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed three times. They are denying the Lord that redeemed them. Once again, when we see the Bible talking about heretics and heresies, it refers to when Christians are preaching false doctrine, and we have damnable heresies being preached today. One most important one that we are just simply ignoring for the most part, as we call ourselves fundamentalists, is the fact that the damnable heresy was brought in by so-called fundamental Christian leaders who said you don't need to repent in order to go to heaven. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, it's interesting that some years back, Jack Hiles, the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, and Curtis Hudson, who then was in charge of the Sword of the Lord, they got together and said, oh, you can't build a big church if you tell people they have to repent. Just get them to pray a prayer like the Catholics do, and we'll call them Christians. No, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What part of that is too difficult to understand? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, if you're going to believe what these Christian fundamentalist leaders brought in amongst us that says you don't need to repent, you're going to believe a damnable heresy that'll damn you to hell for eternity. Now, the sad part about that is, for the most part, people who call themselves fundamental independent Baptist pastors today are strangely silent about this. As we've mentioned before, they'll get all upset over whether there's a gap between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and verse 2. They'll get all upset about who they believe the sons of God were who married the daughters of men. But when it comes to the plan of salvation, even though it was changed by so-called fundamental preachers, even though they changed it, for the most part, very few pastors who call themselves fundamentalists today are saying anything about it. Our problem today is not what they're preaching. Our problem today is what is not being preached. And the few people who dare to preach the truth about this are written off by most so-called fundamental leaders today. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3, when Paul wrote to the pastor there at Ephesus, he said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou might charge some that they teach no other gospel or no other doctrine. What part of charge some is too difficult to understand? Paul, speaking to the pastors in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. He says here, number one, grievous wolves shall enter in among you. Now, they're wolves. They're not sheep. They're unsaved. Okay, they're going to enter in among the people. But he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, a perverse thing is something that is contrary to the expected standard or practice as given to us by the Word of God. Romans 12 and 2 says that we are to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it's important to understand that Romans was written, Romans 1 and 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Every Christian has a responsibility to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the Word of God commands the pastor to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. It's interesting that before the pastor was to preach sound doctrine, he was told to stop those who were teaching false doctrine. Some years ago, I read an article about a test that was given to mentally handicapped people to check it on their learning process. And they had a tap running water out of the tap onto the floor. And they would give the slow learner a mop and ask him to mop up the water. If he shut off the tap before he began mopping, they knew that they had made some progress. But if he just begins mopping the floor while leaving the tap running, they knew they had much work to do. Now, today, apostasy destroys our churches when the tap of false doctrine is left running while we are trying to build numerically. The problem existed 2,000 years ago, and it exists much more today when false doctrine is permeating into our churches. I have a message entitled, When God Sums It Up, and sums is spelled S-O-M-E-S, because we read in 1 Timothy 1:3, some were teaching false doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:6, some turned aside unto vain jangling. 1 Timothy 1:9, some made shipwreck. 1 Timothy 4:1, some departed from the faith. 1 Timothy 5:15, some turned after Satan. 1 Timothy 5:24, some sinned openly. And the same verse says, some sinned secretly. And then in 1 Timothy 6:10, some coveted after money. And then in 5:24, some erred concerning the faith. And then in 2 Timothy 2:18, some had their faith overthrown. 2 Timothy 2:20, some were vessels to dishonor. And thank God, in that same verse, 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, some were vessels unto honor. Now, notice here, we have 12 times where God said someone turned aside. One out of those 12 times we had some were vessels to honor. 11 times out of 12, they went astray. God has always had a remnant. We can go back all the way to the story of Noah and the ark. A small group got on the ark. Isaiah said, except we had a very small remnant, we should have been as a Sodom and as Gomorrah. We come to the New Testament and we find that when Jesus was born, a few shepherds and some wise men knew about it while the rest were going through their fundamental things down at the temple. And then when the Lord chose some men, how many did he choose? He chose 12 out of all those that were there in Israel at that time. One of them was a hypocrite. And so we see, though, all through it, that when times were going what we would call apostate today, there was always a remnant. And in Romans 11:5 says, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant. What we need to do today is be among those where God says some were vessels to honor. We cannot be a vessel to honor while denying what Jesus said when he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we cannot be a vessel to honor when we're strangely silent when the plan of salvation is being changed and we just simply say, oh, well, it's one of us fundamentalists. We better not say anything about it. That is the worst form of hypocrisy. Once again, in 2 Timothy 4:5, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let me read those two verses again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What is the pastor to do when they will not endure sound doctrine? But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We also read in Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause? or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this vile world, a friend of grace to help me on to God. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy.